In Colossians, the third chapter, in verse 5, we read about the things we are to put off, called the old man. And these are things that we are to put to death. And one of those things, as he begins to list them, is evil desire. Notice it's in the context of fornication, uncleanness, covetousness, all of those things. We see the sexual sins of fornication and that lascivious heart that says, I want to do what I feel like doing in that sexual realm. And part of the things we address are evil desires. Fornication is the illicit sexual intercourse that's not right before God. But there is a mindset that is behind those actions, those activities that people engaged in. Adultery, fornication. It is an uncleanliness of thinking. And I think it's interesting that the New Testament, Jesus Christ and the gospel message, not only deals with the actions that are wrong, but sometimes, as we notice in the works of the flesh, sometimes the works of the flesh is our thinking, how we think, and our mindset. And so we read this, and it is a tense in the Greek language that it's a one-time thing. It's not something I'm going to continue to work on. I put to death the old man. Verse 5, I'm going to put to death fornication, adultery, and uncleanness, and that evil desire and covetousness. And is not pornography become a god to people? And that's what leads to those things. And what we began to observe is that not only that, but verse 8, we put to death anger and our wrath, and we lose our temper. And a man says, well, I just can't help that. That's the way I am. It may be the way you are, but it's not the way you should be as a child of God. And you've got to put it to death. Well, how? To especially young men, and all men, and maybe women too, that have this mindset of that evil desire. How does one do that? I know I cannot live that way as a Christian. Then how do I do that? Sometimes men go underground. We don't talk about this subject. We're going to talk about it this evening. A man who wrote the book that's very popular among young men today dealing with this problem, Every Man's Battle. Steve Arnenberg, he speaks about his early life as he's growing up. And even after he was married, you know, sometimes we think, well, this is a teenager problem and all that, and when I get married, I'm not going to have this type of problem. No, it carries on because you haven't dealt with it. And as he was already married, he moved out to California. He's riding in a convertible on a sunshine day, and he's approaching a beautiful young lady that's jogging up his direction. She's not clad very modestly, and he notices all of that. That's in his mind. And as he passes her and she passes him, he continues to look in the rearview mirror. And he tells a story that when it happened, he ran into another car and cracked up a Mercedes. What do you tell your wife? You try to hide the car's messed up? You're not going to do that very long. You know what it led to? It led to him lying of why he had the wreck. See, it just takes your life and it takes it directions. You don't want to be a liar. But you do not want to admit that you had an evil desire at that moment. And so we want to look at what the Bible teaches, not only this fact that we've got to put to death those things, but especially speaking to young men to equip you with the Word of God and some things that you can think about to be involved in and living this pure life, and especially sexually pure life. And it deals with this idea of an evil desire. And we're going to approach it in a way of this sexual purity of ways that we can remember things. We're going to use letters that deal with each point. And the first thing that we're going to observe is that men, young men, everybody need to wise up. I want you to notice how deceitful sin is. And we need to be aware of the fact that it is deceitful and to wise up. That's the first step. In 1 Peter 1 and verse 14, the Apostle Peter speaks of the call that we need to be holy. And because why? God is holy. That's a piece of knowledge that you need to have. Why do I need to be holy? Because the God who called us is holy. And so he says, as children of obedience, I have knowledge that God is holy, and therefore I need to be holy as children of obedience, not fashioning yourselves according to your former lust in the time of your ignorance. In the time of your ignorance, I think in this context, ignorance of the true and living God. As you've been studying about idolatry, it's whatever you want it to be, right? We'll make that idol what we want it to be. I will tell it what it needs to be saying and all of these things. What it desires is because of my desires. But it's a time of ignorance of the one true living God, and you were living a life giving in to your lust. The lust of the flesh. That was your former life, the former lust in the time of your ignorance. So I think because we give into these lusts in a time of ignorance, I think the first thing we need to do is to get a little knowledge and wise up to some things. In 2 Peter, the first chapter, verses 3 through 4. 2 Peter 1, 3 through 4. You'll notice that God's power, he's granted unto us all things that pertain to life and godliness through what? Through the knowledge of him that called us by his own glory and virtue. And he says, whereby he hath granted unto us his precious and exceeding great promises, that through these ye may become partakers of his divine nature, having escaped from the corruption that is in the world by lust. Notice why we need knowledge, because a lot of times when we're in the midst of satisfying our lust, would you want to escape? Men that go into bars, they start drinking, they pick up dates, they go home, they commit fornication. They're already learning, if this is wrong, I don't want to be right. That's the lust of the flesh talking. Ignorance. Then they wake up with a hangover or their head in the commode, and they wake up and see what they took home. Oh, I did wrong. I feel bad, and I did wrong. A worldly sorrow, not godly sorrow. But we realize that's the pattern. It is indeed what we're observing here, that it is the idea of you're escaping corruption. We need to wise up and realize that's corruption. That is a lower state of living. That's not the way God created us to live. And we feel the pain, we feel the shame, and we don't want to admit things to somebody about those evil desires. And we realize that the Bible speaks about this. Through the knowledge of God, we can escape the corruption that comes through lust. In Ephesians 4:22, we read about the old man. See, there were Christians thinking they could just continue to live as they always lived. But he says in verse 20, ye did not so learn Christ. They're practicing lasciviousness. Their heart is hardened. And they're living like that. That's the way the Gentiles live. You are a Christian, dear saints in Ephesus. You did not so learn Christ. He takes them back. If so be that you heard him and were taught in him, even as truth is in Jesus, that you put away as concerning your former manner of life, the old man which waxeth corrupt after the lust of what? deceit. That's why you wise up. It deceives you. This is, feels so good. This is the route that we need to go. I'm satisfied the moment. Then you'll crave it again. But it is deceit. It promises all of the, promises you this wonderful, glorious time. But it will deceive you. And we need to wise up to that. I think one of the greatest passages to help us wise up, especially young men, is Proverbs, the 7th chapter. And if you will join me, I would like to look out of the lattice window at a young man making some grave mistakes. Now, if you call me a peeping Tom, Solomon is with me looking too. Won't you look out that window with me, with him? And what he saw, verse 7, I beheld among the simple ones, I discerned among the youths, a young man void of understanding. Young men, don't take offense to that passage. Simple wasn't talking about your intellect. Yes, you're young. And what it means without understanding and being simple, you're not experienced in the way life works. That's what this young man was. And by the way, Proverbs, the 1st chapter and verse 4, you can take care of that problem of being young. You can't help that. You're young. How do you take care of that? You got to wait a few years, right? Well, you can read the book of Proverbs and notice that in chapter 1 and verse 4, one of the reasons for Proverbs is to give prudence to the simple, to the young man knowledge and discretion. The word prudence comes from a word of nakedness. How's that work? What it means is that you have that mind, you have that knowledge and wisdom of prudence, that it's like you can slip through the problems as if you were naked. You just kind of slip through. You avoid the problems. And the book of Proverbs gives you that. It gives a young man that hasn't had the experience full of knowledge of how to avoid the problems. And by the way, did you know, young men, that you can read a chapter a day and read Proverbs every month? 31 chapters. Those 30 days, hey, double up on me, will you? You make it. Can you imagine going through that book once a month and it only just a chapter a day? And it will give you all sorts of wisdom. And this young man didn't have it this day. He was simple, inexperienced, and he comes near this woman's corner. He went the way to her house in the latter part of verse 8, in the twilight, in the evening of the day, in the middle of the night, and in darkness, and behold, there met him a woman with the attire of a harlot. Wily of heart, she's clamorous, and she's willful. And she doesn't stay in her house. She's in the streets. She's in the broad places. She's lying in wait at every corner. He comes near her. And that's a kind of a first mistake. He's simple. He doesn't understand all these things. But young ladies, would you please notice what she was dressed like? What did that look like? I don't know what it looked like back then, but I tell you, when Solomon wrote it, everybody could know, oh, I know how she's dressed. She's dressed as a harlot. Young ladies, what you wear says a lot about who you are. And when your parents try to direct you, let's be modest, There's something well arranged for the occasion, but modesty with shamefastness and sobriety, as we see in 1 Timothy 2 and verse 9, how women ought to adorn themselves. It's part of their mind and their attitude that says, I will dress modestly for the occasion, that's appropriate for the occasions, but with the idea that I will have shamefastness. Shamefastness means I know what's proper and I know what's improper, and I will shrink back from crossing the line of impropriety. It's not seeing how close I can get to it. The shamefastness, I'll shrink back from it. And I have a knowledge. I have some sound judgment. Boys and men are affected by what they see. It's the way we're made. And young ladies, what you wear says a lot about who you are. And this lady was in the attire of a harlot. Verse 13, she caught him and kissed him, and with an impotent face, hard face, she said to him, sacrifices of peace offerings are with me this day, have I paid my vows, therefore came I forth to meet thee, diligently to seek thy face, and I have found thee. That hard face that kissed him and said, I've been looking for you. And I found you. I'm sure his ego shot up. I must be pretty special. Wise up. She'd been doing that to all the men. Wise up. And she says that she's had these peace offerings. See, there's the religious aspect of it. In Leviticus, the 7th chapter, when you read there in verses 6 following, you'll find that if you offered those sacrifices, you were to be taking it home, you were to be involved in partaking of them that very day, and into the next day, but not the third day. So he said, hey, we've got to go share this. So, well, that's religious stuff. I guess it'll be okay to go. And she'd been looking for me. I have spread my couch with carpets of tapestry, verse 16 says, with striped cloths of the yarn of Egypt. I perfumed my bed with myrrh, alloys, and cinnamon. I don't know what that perfume smelled like, but I'm sure it was wonderful. Come, let us take our fill of love until the morning. Let us solace ourselves with lust, for the man is not at home. He has gone on a long journey. Let me just bring us up to date. What does she appeal to? She appeals to his sight of the yarn of Egypt and those pillows. And that is a pretty sight. She appeals to his sense of smell. The fragrant alloys. Cinnamon. She appeals to danger. You don't have to worry about it. That man won't be home. No danger. It looks pretty. Smells good. She's already kissed me. I'm the one. He's taking the bag of money with him. He'll come back at the full moon. You don't have to worry about him coming home. And with her much fair speech, she causeth him to yield. With the flattering of her lips, she forceth him along. He goeth after her straightway. And here's the corruption. As an ox to the slaughter. Or as one in fetters to the correction of the fool, till an arrow strike through his liver, as a bird hasteth to the snare, and knoweth not that it was for his life. His destruction. When we read there that he goeth after her straightway, I've read these other passages to realize it was a process. He didn't just go off a sudden. She forced him along till he yielded. Appealing to all these senses, and a young man that's not able to see through it. He is ignorant. He's simple. He needs to wise up. The lust, or lust of deceit. And that's the first thing that we need to be in our minds. To realize that this is the way the world works. Otherwise, we'll be going to our own destruction. Our own spiritual death. Secondly, we need to avoid the evil stimuli. In 2 Timothy 2 and verse 22, Apostle Paul, in the context of speaking about us being a vessel unto honor, that we can be used by God in an honorable way. He says in this context, but flee youthful lust, and follow after righteousness, faith, love, peace with them that call on the Lord out of a pure heart. Here he says, I want you to avoid those sins. You flee the youthful lust. You don't argue about it. You don't rationalize about it. There are times that you avoid those things. And I think it's interesting, well, what would cause me to want to flee these things? I think the Apostle Paul gives us some pretty good reasons for this in 1 Corinthians, the 6th chapter. Please turn there and note them with me. Flee fornication, verse 18. He begins to give you some reasons. Every sin that a man doeth is without the body, but he that committeth fornication sinneth against his own body. Why? Because his body is being used in the very sin. That's the part of that's sinful. He is abusing that body in that way. That body is the instrument for this fornication. Why would you want to sin against your body? Or know ye not that your body is a temple of the Holy Spirit which is in you? It is a temple. It is an inner sanctuary. It's not a carport. It's a temple. And when you've done it, well, that's why I need to flee. My body is a temple of the Holy Spirit. And thirdly, ye are not your own. For ye were bought with a price. I don't belong to myself. I flee fornication. I know, he said earlier, the body is not for fornication. I will flee fornication because I belong to the Lord. He shed his blood to purchase me, and I'm his. And then finally, glorify God, therefore, in your body. I will flee fornication. I'm not going to use my body as that instrument of sin. I am the temple of the Holy Spirit. I do not belong to myself. I belong to my Lord who bought me by shedding his blood. I will glorify God in my body. You know, I think that's very important because it changes how we think. When we think about those things, and he says in 2 Timothy 2:22 that we are to follow after righteousness, and love, and peace. When we think about those things, it will change how we think. Sometimes people think, I will overcome this problem because I'll change what I think about. And all of a sudden you'll be thinking about, I won't think about those pictures. I won't think about this. And you're thinking about them. It's not changing what you think about. It's changing how you think. That's the key, the solution. And you got it. You'll change how you think. You say, I'm going to follow after these things. And I'm going to understand these things. And I'm going to change how I think about things. In Romans, the 13th chapter, in verse 14, Apostle Paul says, put on the Lord Jesus Christ and make no provision for the flesh to fulfill the lust thereof. When they were exploring the North Pole, and it was a very difficult time, and especially that terrain, they would set up posts where they would put food and supplies, because they couldn't carry everything they needed for the whole trip, but they would drop those things in those prayer zones to make provisions so they could take the journey even further and further. And what Paul is saying here, don't you make those provisions to satisfy the lust of the flesh. And sometimes we put ourselves in positions that we are receiving that sexual stimuli and we will pay for that with our money to go to a movie. We'll see movies, and today you can't go by how it's rated. I've got caught there and found out, well, there's a lot of bad language in that one. Was it PG? 13? And you realize that doesn't make sense anymore to people. I tell you, God's word will always make sense. I'm not going to expose myself to things like that. I don't care what it's rated. But we can avoid those things. A lot of times young people, they want, especially in their senior year, they want to go to the prom. They want to go to the dances. And all of a sudden, what's happening out there on the dance floor? And the modern dances, the dances that people want to go to, they're not attending a clogging exhibition. They're not doing that. It's indecent bodily movements out there. And that is making provision for satisfying the lust of the flesh that you don't have to do. You don't have to put yourself in that position. Because ladies and gentlemen, every time those things happen, a lot of times it ends up in some motel room and fornication is taking place. And young people who said, I'm going to be sexually pure, I'm going to kill evil desire, need to understand that there's a lot of things we can do to keep ourselves away from that stimuli and that evil stimuli. Apostle Paul says something interesting to me, that you follow after righteousness with them that call upon the name of the Lord out of a pure heart. You know, there's something about having our goals, what I need to focus on, but it really helps to be with other people like-minded. That's why it's good for young people, like-mindedness of being a Christian, to be together. To do that with them. And did you know that there are provisions made today? Because we don't have to had a magazine under the bed, a pornographic magazines. They're out there on your computer. You don't have to hide it. It just click, click, turn it off. They don't know I was there. I read today that there were 72% of kids have gone online to see some type of pornography in our country. That's kind of high to me. Have you been there? Sometimes it flashes on your screen. You didn't even ask for it. But you try to avoid that. I have been connected with two preachers in my life that have been destroyed by pornography. They were married men. And they got with the internet. It led to going to strip clubs. One man had $72,000 on his credit card of that type of lifestyle while he was preaching. And I realized it grabs hold of you and it destroys you, and you hide things from your wife and you cheat and you lie and you're a hypocrite. And then they hit them one day. And then what we have, that internet may be, you may consider it evil, but there are things being done. For example, there's some young men that have signed up for Covenant Eyes. I don't know if you've heard about that. But it's a way in which people are held accountable for what they look at on the screen. And there's a young man. He's trying to be godly. He's asked me to be on that with him, in the sense that every time he's on the computer, Covenant Eyes sends me what he's looking at. That keeps him accountable. And it's worked. He's with somebody that wants that goal. And sometimes it may not be in the same congregation. It can be connected with the internet. Help me avoid the evil stimuli. And we need to use those tools because we want to change how we think. Well, killing, eating, desire, we're going to avoid those things. Thirdly, we need to resist. Sometimes you just flatly have to come out and resist the devil. In James, the fourth chapter, and verse 7, we read about what will happen. Be subject, therefore, unto God, but resist the devil, and he will flee from you. He's not going to flee from you if you don't resist him. He's going to welcome you into his camp. So resist him. And Job 31 and verse 1, he's going to avoid the evil stimuli. He's going to resist the devil because he's thinking differently. He said, I've made a covenant with my eyes. How should I look upon a virgin? He said, I'm not going to do that. Because I'm going to resist. And sometimes you just have to do that. I remember one day running around the track. And I guess I was running the wrong way because everybody's going the opposite way. I don't know what that meant that day. But anyway, I was pacing these, and there would be girls that run by, and they run faster than I do. And they're just running real fast. And they're in all of their scantily clothes that they have. You have to train yourself to look not at them. And some of them want you to look, and I think it just makes them mad, and I'm likely to make them mad. Won't even look at them. Don't even observe them. And then one day there came a lady around, and she was modestly dressed. I said, how refreshing. And you can dress that way, and you can participate in sports. And we need to understand that. And sometimes, but when it flashes before your eyes, sometimes you're just going to have to resist it. And the devil will flee from you. Matthew, the fifth chapter, in verses 28 and 29. Our soul is involved in this. And we need to see how serious it is. Here's where Jesus speaks not just to the act of fornication and adultery. But he says, everyone that looketh upon a woman to lust. It's not looking at a woman, but dwelling on her to lust after her. He hath committed adultery with her already in his heart. Because the subject comes up, I just want to mention the point and you can discuss it with me. In Luke the 7th chapter, I read that there is evil desire and fornication. I don't believe looking at pornography is committing the adultery or fornication that allows you to put away your mate. That's just where I stand. Because in Luke 7, there's a distinction between evil desire and fornication. If the Holy Spirit distinguishes it, I need to learn what it is. And while the pornography is there, and the evil desire is there, notice he has to stress where the adultery was committed, because it's not like the adultery that we usually commit in your heart. But what he's teaching us is that there's where we give in to those things, and the only thing keeping us from the action is that physical contact, is that opportunity. So destroy that evil desire to the point that it says, it's prompted for thee that one of thy members should perish. Pluck out that eye that if it cause you to stumble, and not thy whole body be cast into hell. We can go to hell looking at pornography because it is that evil desire we've given in. Sometimes you just have to resist it. And sometimes we don't resist it as strong as we should. But that's part of what we need to do. And then the final main point that I believe this helps a lot is that you determine you're going to serve the Lord. I'm going to submit and humble myself before God. I'm going to resist the devil. But I need to fill my life with things that will be constructive, and serving the Lord helps tremendously. In Romans the 12th chapter in verse 11, the Apostle Paul speaks about the character of that service. When he says, in diligence, not slothful, fervent in spirit, serving the Lord. That means balling up may I say with enthusiasm, boiling up with the point that I am going to serve my Lord. And I'll be fervent in spirit. Titus, the second chapter, Jesus gave himself up for us for what purpose? That he might redeem us from all iniquity and purify unto himself a people for his own possession, zealous. Notice it's zealous of good works. Apostle Paul, giving the encouragement that we will be raised from the dead. Death has not defeated us. We've overcome death in Christ. Be ye therefore steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord. For as much as you know that your labor is not vain in the Lord. And when you look and think about Jesus died for me, I will be zealous for good works. I will not be slow. I'm going to be fervent in spirit. I want to serve the Lord. And when you put that into your life, I think you'll make us stronger to resist the devil. It'll make us wiser because of the knowledge of God's word that we'll avoid the evil stimuli. And we will be gaining knowledge and understanding to avoid the various pitfalls that take place in our lives. I just think it's interesting from the book of Proverbs, and this is very important for young people. Do you know the end from the beginning? Isaiah speaks about God knows that. And God even declares the end from the beginning. But as you read Proverbs this month, and I know you're all going to do it, you're going to try it. In that first chapter, you will answer the problem of gang activity. Where your peers say, hey, come, let's join us. We're going to rob these people. We're going to kill them. We'll all share in the purse. Come join us. And the father said, don't go with them. It leads to your death because of your greediness. And you have a place to belong, but it's not with that group. It's with God's people. We read in Proverbs 7, what did we see? We saw the end. Were you there in that house? I was looking through the lattice window. Did we see that boy? That was the beginning. We know the end from the beginning. You're wising up. And you go to the end of that book, you'll find out about drinking too. About how I should regard alcohol that could take away my understanding. I know the end, it will bite like an adder. It's going to sting and bite like a snake and sting like an adder and all those things. I don't want to be there. It'll make myself look very foolish. I know from the beginning how I need to conduct myself. Now, ladies and gentlemen, what are three problems happen to young people today? Gang activity, fornication, and alcohol problems. And the book of Proverbs gives you understanding, so you can wise up. I don't have to go down that road. I can avoid it because I'm wiser than I was. I remember in high school, and I know my mentality and thought process because I remember it vividly. But one night after a Friday night football game, my friends on the football team, after we had showered everything, they came by my house. Hey, you want to go with us? They were going out drinking. And I don't do that. But I was the first part of the season. They were asking, you want to go do all that? I'm going to tell you what. I wanted to go. Those were my football friends. But I tell you what kept me from it that night. It wasn't because of my godliness. Because I knew it hurt my daddy. In the house. He taught me that's wrong. You always thought the preacher kids were wild? Yes, some of them are. But sometimes a preacher kid knows he's got a preacher for a daddy. And I knew what shame and things that would happen. And that night, I resisted the devil because of the influence of my father. You may not have a father like that. But you can get God's word. But I've looked back One boy in that car never made it to his 18th birthday. Because a couple of weeks later, he got drunk and he wrapped that car around a tree out in the country. And I got his yearbook and I look at him. He never made it to 18. I was so wise that night. Not because of my superiority. I was simple and I was easily could have been affected. But young parents, you teach those children when they're young. You will have an influence upon them as they're trying to gain their relationship with God. And the first one I feared was my dad, not God. But I learned to fear God. In Psalm 84 and verse 11, this is an encouraging passage to me, and I hope it will be to you, that if you will do your part, God will do His. For Jehovah God is a sun and a shield. What does the sun help you do? It helps lighten up everything I can see. What does a shield do? It protects me. It gives me guidance and gives me protection. Jehovah will give grace and glory. No good thing will He withhold from them that walk uprightly. You walk uprightly. You do your part in striving to live a pure life. God will not hold any good thing from you. And you take advantage of the people who are living godly and calling upon God out of a pure heart. You read your Bible and take those passages that give you the wisdom that as you're inexperienced, you can be wiser than your teachers. And you start living that godly life and you will encourage others to do so. And we'll be involved in, I think, killing this evil desire. So when we look at this, what does that spell? If I were to ask you tonight, what does W stand for? What does A stand for? What does R stand for? What does S stand for? Could you tell me right now? The wise up, avoid the evil desire, resist the devil, your soul and salvation is worth it, and you serve the Lord. And the reason I say war is that's what it is. In 1 Peter 2 and verse 11, the Apostle Peter appeals to Christians as what? Sojourners. You're just passing through. And you're pilgrims. You won't be on the football team. You won't be 16 years old, 17 years old all your life. You're going to be passing through. And we need to look at this whole world that way. We're passing through and I am a pilgrim. I do not belong here. My citizenship is in heaven. See, it's changing how you think. Not what you think about, how you think. I'm going to think of myself that way, so I'm going to abstain from fleshly lust, which war against the soul. Did you know the war between the flesh and the spirit is the oldest war that mankind has known? And it takes place in every generation. And it's your time as you grow to maturity to understand I am in a war. I wise up. I will avoid. I will resist. And I will serve. And I believe that will help you kill evil desire. This evening the song has been selected to encourage those who are outside of Christ to become a Christian. And if you believe that Jesus is the Son of God and that He died for you, raised from the grave, to be the authority and have the powerful name to save you, why not confess who He is tonight before this people in this audience? Repent of your sins. Turn from them. I'm going to turn away from the lust of deceit that has no future for me. God has promised me a future in Christ. And He'll provide everything that I need. He'll be my son. He will be my shield. He will not withhold anything that will be good for me. That's the God we want you to serve. And we can baptize you into Christ, and all the sins you've ever committed will be forgiven by God. That's who you have to deal with. And you can be raised to walk in a newness of life. If you are subject to the gospel invitation, you come to that age, we encourage you, obey the gospel now. You have the opportunity. As we stand and sing, please come.